continue from where I left off. Last week, I explained that there is a dichotomy between the Ma'aseh HaMitzvah and the Kiyum HaMitzvah in certain cases. And I said that the Ma'aseh HaMitzvah is actually what a person does. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is what he fulfills. So I said that in many mitzvahs, perhaps in most of the mitzvahs, they're identical. The mitzvah is to shake a lulav, and that's the action that I do. And the key of my mitzvah is that I shake the lulav. So it's exactly the same. But in certain mitzvahs, the mas and the kiyum are separate. I gave an example of davening. I said this week that davening is to say words, but that's not the mitzvah. That's the action that a person does, but that's not what the mitzvah is. The definition of the mitzvah is, who can say in two words?
Avodah Shebaleh.
Avodah Hashem or Avodah Shebaleh. That's the actual mitzvah. And therefore I said, there might be a machlokas. There is a machlokas. But there might be a machlokas whether a person takes the lulav without kavana, if he fulfills the mitzvah or not. Mitzvah is tzrichas kavana, but slo tzrichas kavana. That could be a machlokas. Because if a person shook lulav without kavana, he did the ma'aseh, he did the kiyum, but he had no kavana. However, a mitzvah like davening, if a person davened without kavana, so there's no avodas Hashem. The act of davening, the ma'aseh mitzvah he did, but there's no kiyum ha-mitzvah at all. So a person davens without kavana is worthless, which of course leads us to a major problem. How do we daven? Because today we're cynics, and we say that nobody really davens with kavana. I guess we have to work at it. But davening without kavana, the Rambam says clearly, is not davening. According to the way I explained it last week, it's not avodas Hashem. So that's where I was up to. And the obvious continuation is going to be by tshuva. There is a ma'aseh mitzvah and a kiyum mitzvah. What's the ma'aseh mitzvah of tshuva? What do you do? What you do is you say vidui. That is the act of tshuva that a person must do. It's a mitzvah called tshuva, and that's what you do. What's the kiyum mitzvah? What do you fulfill when you say vidui? You fulfill the concept of tshuva. A person says vidui, but he's thinking about something else. He doesn't know what he's saying. He has no idea what he's talking about. He's not saying vidui. He's thinking about, God, give me panasa. Somebody once asked in the yeshiva. The whole yeshiva was present at a Friday night big tish we had before Rosh Hashanah. And one of the Ramim asked guys to translate. Israelis, not just chutzniken. What does it mean? Nechashev kitzag bi'iton. Tuchot befiluli akalato. Very hard words. So he asked the whole yeshiva, which guys know what it means? Interestingly enough, the Israelis look up, they don't know what the words meant either. Rav Meidan turned around and said, I say, why you ask such an easy question? There are such much harder places. This one's easy. Everybody knows what that means. So another person got up and said, I know what it means. Really? Nechashev kitzag b'iton. I know what it means. It means, God help! That's the whole idea of davening. God help! That's not vidui. The person says vidui, he has to understand what he's saying. Otherwise, it's not vidui. If you don't know what you're talking about, as long as you know you're standing before God, maybe you can talk about avodas Hashem. But you can't talk about vidui if you don't know what you're saying means anything. So tshuva, the ma'aseh mitzvah of tshuva is to be vidui. The kiyum mitzvah is to be about tshuva, to really do tshuva. What I said this week, based on what I said last week, is the explanation according to the way I explained last week, Rav Soloveitchik. Other people disagreed, and they thought that according to the Rambam, there's no mitzvah at all called tshuva. The mitzvah is only vidui. and they paid attention to the words. Remember the words? Kishe yaseh tshuva. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Kishe yaseh tshuva. When a person does tshuva, then he has to say vidur. So we saw that three great people, I mentioned them last week, the Avodas HaMelech, that's the Rav Zonkel, the Milchas Chinuch, and Rav Kook, all three thought there's no mitzvah of tshuva in the Rambam. Rav Soloveitchik explained differently, and what I said is the explanation of Rav Soloveitchik. The Milchas Chinuch thought that there's no mitzvah at all in the Rambam of tshuva, the mitzvah is only vidur. So he asked a question that he's very proud of. He thinks that this question really got the Rambam. The following is the question. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Tesamid Beis. If it's not there, it should be. Kiddushin Mem Tesamid Beis. The Gemara says that if a person marries a girl under false pretenses, so the wedding is invalid. That's considered a tolos mistake. For example, I know a young lady, it really is funny, but I do know somebody like that, who wants to marry a Kohen. I think she's nutty. But she wants to marry only a Kohen. That's all she wants. So a guy goes out with her and says he's a Kohen. She goes out, falls in love, everything else. And then they have a wedding. And she finds out when they read the Ksuba, it says he's not a Kohen. He said he's a Kohen. He said the whole time he's a Kohen. The person would say, I marry a girl with the condition I'm a Kohen. He's not a Kohen. The wedding is off. Batel. It's tovs. So the Gemara gives a number of examples of a person saying something. And then you find that it's not true. For example, a person marries a girl and says, I read the Kodesh, I'm an Ashani Ashir. I'm a rich guy. Then she comes to the wedding, all excited. After the wedding, she expects her husband to take out a check and pay for the whole wedding. And he says, I don't have any money. I'm poor. She got married with the intention that he was rich. I'm an Ashani Ashir. Wedding is canceled. Toast. So here's the real interesting one. I always like to picture the scenario. A guy says, I'm an Ashani Tzadik. I marry you with the condition that I'm a tzaddik. So what's the scenario that I envision? You see, in our days, we get engaged, halachically engaged, under the chuppah. The engagement that we talk about doesn't mean anything today, halachically. In the time of the Gemara, they would get engaged when we get engaged, but it would really be serious. The guy would propose to a girl, work it out, bring to Aiden, and make Kiddushin. And then a year later, they'd get married, but within a year. But that would be the idea of Kiddushin right away. So here is the scenario. I love it. A guy from Gush, going out with a girl from Beis Yaakov in Yerushalayim. Seems a little strange, but she heard that he's one of the real frum guys. Really good guy. So at the end, they're going out, they're in a restaurant, a kosher one, and the guy says to the girl, Hareat Mekudeshes. She says, sorry, you're a gush guy. I don't think you're from enough for me. Amenasha ani tzadik. Hareat Mekudeshes de Amenasha ani tzadik. The Gemara says, Mekudeshes. First of all, I have to explain one thing. A tzadik doesn't mean like the Chavetz Chaim. A tzaddik means somebody who's better than bad. A person who has more zechuyot than averos is called a tzaddik. That's all we're talking about. So he says, Amenasha ani tzaddik. The Gemara says, maybe the tshuva. Shema hirer tshuva belibo. Get the words? And you understand the kasha, hopefully. Amenasha ani tzaddik, choshashim shema hirer tshuva belibo. Maybe he just thought of tshuva. At the moment that he proposed, and the girl wants a tzaddik, maybe at that moment he thought of doing tshuva. So the Rambam paskins, in this case, safek mekudeshes. Why only safek? Because the Gemara said, choshashim, shem ohir or tshuva b'lib. I don't know for sure what he was thinking. Do I know what you're thinking? Do you know what I'm thinking? Nobody knows what anybody else is thinking. So I don't know if he's doing tshuva, but maybe he is. Possibility. Since he's doing tshuva, Savek Mekudeshes. What's the kasha? Pretty obvious. Come on, guys. Wake up. You didn't even start saying slichas yet. Why should you be tired? Wait till next week. Go on.
Where's the vidui?
He didn't say vidui. Amenash ani tzadik. Choshishim shem ahira tshuva belibo. Belibo? What good does belibo do? The Ram in the mitzvah saseh is vidui. So how can you possibly say that this guy's a good guy? He didn't say vidui. At best, he thought of vidui. But the Ram says vidui has to be done. That's the mitzvah. How would you answer the kasha?
You could do a kiyum and a maisa.
That's true. Could you explain better? Okay. There are many people today who say they're very religious Jews, but they don't do mitzvahs. They really believe they're really religious. I'll never forget the story that Reb Aaron Soloveitchik once told us. It's very typical of Reb Aaron. Obviously you never knew him, and you will never have the privilege of hearing from him. But Reb Aaron Soloveitchik was mortally afraid of airplanes. He did not like to fly. He was very scared. So every moment he was on a plane, he said Tehillim from the beginning to the end. Just said Tehillim the whole time. So he told us a story that he was sitting next to a person who looked at him saying Tehillim, and the person said to him, "Sir, I don't know who you are. Maybe you're a very great rabbi, but I want you to know I'm president of a Reform synagogue, but I'm more religious than you." So Reb Aaron said, "Why do you think you're more religious than I am?" He said, "Because you believe that God might want this plane to go down, but you're going to intercede with him, and you're going to pray, and the plane will stay up. And I believe in God. I believe that the plane will stay up if God wants it, it'll go down if God wants it, and there's no purpose to do any prayers. I believe in God very much, and I'm a servant of God, but I don't think the mitzvahs are important." So Reb Aaron Soloveitchik turned to him, very typical, and said, "Sir, I don't know who you are, and you might be very more religious than I am, but this doesn't prove anything. All this proves is that you believe in fate, and I believe in God. God told us to do mitzvahs. It's not something that is optional. We have to do the mitzvah." So let's say there's a person who says it's time now, it's not really time yet, to daven mincha. And I know that mincha is avodas Hashem. I really know that. So for a minute, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I don't care, 10 minutes. And I'm going to do avodas Hashem. And for 10 minutes, he sits and concentrates on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when doing avodas Hashem. At the end of the day, did he daven mincha? No. Would you say he's a religious Jew? Is he an Oved Hashem? I'd like to hear somebody say that a little more clearly. I heard a few grunts.
No.
No. I disagree with you. I think he's an Oved Hashem, but he doesn't do the mitzvahs. He didn't do a mitzvah. I don't want to be mean or rotten, but I assume many of you have sometimes left out a mitzvah also. You forgot to daven mincha. Sometimes you can sleep as man kriya shma. With you, it's a problem of sleeping past the time of kriya shma. With me, it's a problem that I go to sleep before man kriya shma at night. So we all have our problems. Does that make you less religious? Are you an Oved Hashem if one morning it just so happened you overslept, or one day you forgot to bench? Would you say you're not an Oved Hashem anymore? You really believe in everything, and you believe in doing everything, but you left out some mitzvahs. You're an Oved Hashem? I think you are. I think you're missing some mitzvahs. We could always look for more mitzvahs to do, but you're still called an Oved Hashem. A person who did real tshuva, that means whatever it means, total introspection. Person changed his whole life. He did tshuva to return to his roots, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to return to Am Yisrael, to return to every possible thing. But he did not say vidui. At the end of the day, would you say he's religious or not religious?
Religious.
I would call him religious. He's an Oved Hashem. But he's missing a mitzvah. What mitzvah is he missing? Vidui. The Gemara says, for example, if a person brought a carbon and he left out some part of the carbon, which is not ma'ake, Gemara says, keep it, but keep it. Good, but not totally good. He lost something, but it's not that he didn't do anything. He brought the carbon. A person who did tshuva, really did tshuva, but didn't say vidui, the bottom line is about tshuva. So again, don't get carried away by the word tzaddik. Tzaddik means good, as opposed to Russia, which means bad. A person who did tshuva, but he didn't say vidui, would he be called a Russia or a tzaddik? A tzaddik. So that's what the Gemara says, according to the Rambam. If a person says to a girl, Ani mekadesh otach, amenasha ani tzaddik, and at the end he's a Rasha, but if he did tshuva belibo, then he's a tzaddik. He's still missing a mitzvah. A person who's missing a mitzvah can be a tzaddik. Again, I'm not talking about myself, but everybody can think about themselves. I won't talk about myself, but I can think about myself. You can think about yourself. Just because you left out a mitzvah, does that make you a bad person? You believe you're an Oved Hashem, but for whatever reason you left out one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, three mitzvahs. So you're missing mitzvahs and you have to try to get them. But you're still an Oved Hashem. So that's the answer to the kasha. So let's say it over again with the biskut terminology first, and then we'll explain it again. A person who does tshuva in his heart, he did the kiyum mitzvah. He didn't do the ma'aseh mitzvah. At the end of the day, a person who did tshuva, you cannot say he's irreligious. He really did tshuva. In the words of the Gemara, that's considered a tzaddik. So, does he have kapara? Kapara. How would anybody translate the word kapara in English? What? Well, that's the way we translate, right? The Day of Atonement. But would he have kapara, you think? No. Kapara is attained when you do something. For some things, kapara will work. Some things you need another. Tshuva will work for kapara. Some other things, kapara of tshuva won't work. But for this particular thing, there's no kapara. The averis might be wiped off, but you have no kapara. You might not be considered a rasha. You're going to be considered a tzaddik, but you have no kapara. If I would put it in very, very simple terms, a person who's my friend, and he wants to be my friend again, so if he came back to me and he does not apologize, but in his heart he thinks he wants to be my friend again, so I don't know if I'd be friendly with him. Maybe I can't be angry at him anymore, but I won't be friendly with him. Kapara, it is somewhat... Actually, it's obviously such simple words, as if I'm talking to little kids, and you deserve a little more than that. But it's a very simple explanation. The person who's the tzaddik, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is no longer angry at him. He's about tshuva. He doesn't have kapara. That means he's not on the best terms with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the present. This explanation, as I said before, is the name of Rav Soloveitchik. It's printed in Al HaTshuva, as well as other places. I'd like to just continue with the Rambam. I should have said again to bring a Rambam. Okay, next Thursday.
I wrote it on the
Petek. I'm sorry?
I wrote it on the Petek.
Oh, thank you. But I don't see Rambam. I see Sam.
I'm sure that the quoted that tomorrow.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it work against his logic?
The Gemara? His logic is there's a mitzvah called tshuva, but the Rambam doesn't think so.
Oh, okay. So he himself thinks that there's a mitzvah.
Yeah. He thinks that the Rambam is wrong because of this Gemara.
Right.
tshuva does not require vidur. Tshuva is a mitzvah without vidur, according to Melech Tzchina. Let's continue with the Rambam. Kol mitzvah shvatar ben aseh ben lo taseh, kishiyah v'ar adem malachas mehem ben mizodim ben mishkaka, kishiyah se tshuva, remember that? Kishiyah se tshuva. Continue. V'yashav mecheta, come on. Would you read? Chayav lisvados lefnei hakel baruch. He has to say it, Peter. Shenemar.
Isha isha ki asu vidomer. Isvadu es patasam asher asu ze vidui dvarim.
Vidui ze. Go on.
Okay. Mitzvah
sase. The Ram says the vidui is the mitzvah. Again, that will lead people to think that the mitzvah is vidui, but the Ram said in the Koteret, remember to do tshuva. So that was our problem, and that's what we just read. The Ram says you have to say vidui, and he learned from the pasuk v'tvadu es chatasam. It says clearly. Where does it say that pasuk? V'tvadu et chatatam. Where? In what context? When you bring a carbon. When you bring a carbon, you have to say vidur. The Rambam is going to continue and explain to me, to you, to everyone, that when you do something, it's not enough just to do what you have to do. You must say vidur. Continue. Oh, 1 second. Does anybody want to point out anything in the language of the Ram that you'd like to think about or disturbs you or makes you feel that I want to think about it more? I was trained to read the Rambam by Rav Soloveitchik. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I'll tell you what gets me. Chayav lisvados lefnei hakel baruch hu. It never says in the Rambam you have to put on tefillin before God, you have to daven before God, you have to say kriya shema before God. Chayav lisvados lefnei hakel baruch hu. I mean, it seems to me extraneous, no? And if you remember in the Koteret, what did it say? Hold your finger in the place and read the Koteret again. Mitzvah saseh achas. Isn't it l'fnei Hashem? The Rambam's trying to tell me something here. Doesn't it seem that the l'fnei Hashem is put in on purpose? Think about it. Go on. Okay, the Rambam says this is what vidui is. How many parts of vidui are there? Read the Rambam carefully. How many parts of vidui are there? How many?
Three.
Three. What's the first? What?
It's just like I acknowledge this.
Okay, what we'll call in Hebrew, hakara sachet, that you recognize that you did something wrong. Very often, person comes to a person and says, you did something wrong. The first response will be, no, it wasn't really wrong. And I'll explain it. Later on, maybe eventually he'll say he did wrong. But the first stage of vidui is to say chatasi. In Tanakh, can anybody think of a case where somebody came to somebody and the first thing he said was chatasi? Where?
David.
And before him, somebody else did not say chatasi?
Shaul.
Who told you that? What? Tanakh? And you knew it? Remarkable. Okay. Chatasi, that's the first part. What's the second part? Come on, what's the second part? Nichamti uboshti. I regret and I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. Nichamti uboshti. Shame an embarrassment. I regret it. And the third part, which we call Kabbalah Lasi. Is the order important?
Yes.
Yeah? Look in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Can you read it?
Mahi Atshuva, Hushi Azov Achotei Chet'o V'yasiro V'machshavato V'yigmor V'libo Shelo Yasehu Ot Shenemar Yazov V'ashavato V'chein Yisnacham Al She'avar Shenemar Ki Acharei Shuvi
Is that the same order? So what does that imply? Say it out loud. Well, it might imply that the order doesn't matter. It might imply there are different types of tshuva. If that's true, we should try to analyze and look carefully in all the Rambams and see what the context is in one context in another and see if they're all the same. I'm not going to do it right now. But the Rambam's order in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, seems to be the most natural order. First of all, to recognize what you did, to be sorry, and to accept the future. That is the Ikar Vidui. Then the Rambam says, the more you say Vidui, the better it is. It doesn't mean to make up sins. The people that get these, you know, pamphlets that say 4,000 things you did wrong, I'm not a big fan of it. If you really did something, you should be aware of it and say it. To say the Vidui, it's printed in text in the Siddur, that became our prayers. But to say other things is meaningful if you have something to say. To say something that is printed, you don't even know what you're reading, I don't know what benefit that is. Go on. Whoa! You're reading Perek Beis. Let's go back to Perek Aleph. That V'yayda lev yodea talmumas is too much for today. Go on. Go on. Ram says the same thing with a person brings a karban. There are karbanas that come for sins, namely a chait, chatas, and an asham. Ram says you bring a chatas and an asham, not enough. There's no kapara. Are you chayef to bring a chatas and an asham? Yes. But there's no kapara unless you say vidui. What carbon did the Ram leave out? Chatas and asham. What did he leave out? He left out shlamim. You think there's vidui in shlamim? No. Why not? Shlamim is not because of a sin. You're just a friendly type of thing. What other carbon is left out? Ola. Does Ola come for a sin? Yes or no? Rashi in Chumash says?
Yes.
It comes for a bittul asay. If a person did not fulfill a mitzvah asay, he could, maybe should, but he certainly could, bring in Ola. Ram doesn't use the word vidui. When you study Kabanos, it's a good thing to study. Why did the Ram not say vidui by Ola? He did say b'chatas nashim. Okay, I want to finish, so we'll finish the rest of the Ram. Continue. Look at that. A person's chayav malchus. He got his malchus. He doesn't have kapar. What would you call him? It's Tadik or Russia at this point. He got his malchus. But he did not say vidui. So what would you call him? A tzaddik or a Russian?
A chicha.
So you see, Yonatan's quoting it based on the pasuk, based on the gemara. It's very interesting. Let's say a person is chayv malchus. By definition, anybody who's chayv malchus is a Russian. By definition. Because the Torah says the word Russia by malchus. A person can chayv malchus, but only if he's a Russian. Otherwise, he's not chayv malchus. When does the name Russia get off? When do you lose the name of Russia? When you get Malchus. So it's an amazing thing. This guy got Malkus. He did not say Vidui. He has no kapara, but the bottom line, he's not a Rasha. You want to hear something fantastic? According to the Rambam, a person who's chayiv Malkus, let's say a person who ate treif, b'mezid, a mumar lachis, and then he's pasul eidus. He is now pasul eidus because he's a Rasha. He gets Malkus. He is kosher le'edus. He didn't do tshuva. He didn't do vidui. But he got Malkus. Once you got Malkus, you're not called a Rasha. Do you have kapara? No. But you're not a Rasha. Since you're not a Rasha, you're kosher le'edus. But you have no kapara. It's amazing Rambam. But logically, it follows that a person's a Rasha until you get Malkus. Once you get Malkus, as Yonatan said, he's your brother. The Torah says, v'nikla achicha le'inecha. He's now your brother, he got Malkus, so he's kashalates. He is still not going to get kapara. The last case in the Rambam is, go on. Okay, this requires a lot of explanation, but we're not going to do it, it's too late. Even a person who was matzik somebody else's money. Somebody came by my house and messed up the sign outside my house. So he's a matzik. So the next day he felt bad and he came and fixed it, put it up better, made it nicer. But he didn't come to my house. No vidui, no tshuva, no kapara. He paid back. Ram says, even for a ben adam lechavera, there is no kapara. Unless you do feed it. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.